But in the meantime, you can turn to Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Starting in verse 5. And so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There will never be another pastor like Pastor Holman. But today is a new day. And I stand before you this morning for maybe the first time that I've ever stood up here without fear. Because I am wholly reliant upon God this morning. I'm not reliant upon my own abilities or my own knowledge or any talent that God may have blessed me with. I am wholly reliant upon Him this morning. And I know God's got it. And that's why I have no fear and I have full confidence. Mom picked this up yesterday. Some of you may recognize this. But this is my dad's notebook. And she opened it up. And at the very top of the page here, my dad's handwriting, God's got a plan. He's got a plan. We may not understand it, but He's got it. And it's all good. And as long as we trust in Him, everything's going to be all right. So I have no fear this morning that God is taking us to a new level, that God is getting ready to do something new in this house that we've never seen before. I have every confidence that we are moving to a new level. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know God's going to do it. I won't have every answer for you. But I do have this. I have a lot of support from you all. I have many pastors that have my back this morning, and they've constantly been texting and encouraging me. Pastor Jim Crabb texted me this morning. Josh Barkley's been texting me daily. Pastor Barkley's been texting me daily, and he has made sure that I understand that I better be reaching out to him often. I said, don't worry. I have every intention to make him probably wish he would have never said that. But I know I have a lot of support. I have the support of my family, but the other thing I have is determination. And I couldn't always say that. I remember sitting in a hospital room about this time last year, and Mom and Dad had a conversation with me, and as Dad was going through a treatment, and, the conversation was, I remember Dad saying that at some point you may have to pastor this church. And when he said that, I was filled with terror. I was filled with all the thoughts of, I have no desire to do this. And the terror just came from knowing that I'm not ready to do this. But His grace is sufficient. And I trust in that this morning, that He'll take care of it. I know I have the ability, both in my mind, but more importantly in my heart. The love that my family has for this body, and I've said, I may have said this last week, it does not stop with my mom and my dad, but it goes on down through the family. And I've never felt that more than I felt it this week. And I just want to say for myself, and I'm sure I could speak for the family, that my dad would have been so proud this week of how many people just stepped up and blessed us and honored him by honoring us. Those of you that prepared food, it was excellent. And it was such a blessing just to not have to worry about stuff like that. It was such a blessing to us. And it was all good food, too, let me tell you. And we're still eating it. And it was... Was it midnight last night? I don't know, but I was eating dinner at midnight last night. Leftovers from yesterday afternoon, and the night before I was eating some leftover spaghetti at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was really good, you know. But so many people have stepped up, and people like Frank and Valerie, who, you know, came all the way back up from North Carolina just to be a blessing to us this week. We appreciate you all more than you know. So I have support. I've got determination. I know that God has placed in me the ability, both in mind and heart, but most importantly, I have the willingness. And that's not something I could always say. Mom can testify to that, that she probably had her doubts that I'd be willing to stand up and do this. Or not only that I'd be willing to stand up and do this, but that I could, you know, and could I handle the pressure and the responsibility. And I know, you know, this is probably the hardest message I've ever had to put together. But I will tell you, I feel no pressure. Because again, this is God's house. And if God didn't want me here, then I wouldn't be here. And so I'm thankful that my dad has, I know this because of what my dad has taught me over the years. You know, I feel no pressure for any kind of performance or whatever. I'm just here to speak the word this morning and every morning. That's what I'm here to be, God's mouthpiece. There is, you know, this has never been a house where there is any other star other than Jesus. It's never been that way. It's you know, Jesus has always been the focus. And, you know, I know my dad was one who, he didn't really care who got the credit. As long as people are being saved, as long as people are being ministered to, as long as people are being delivered, who cares who gets the credit? God will keep his own tally. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm just here to do what God needs me to do right now. And I'm in it for the long haul. I am not called to be my dad. That is not possible. You know, I know that they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But I would not dishonor the memory of my father by trying to be like him, because I can't do it. He often said, "You can't do me like I do me." And that's the truth. That's the truth. You know, you may see the likeness of him in me. You may see some of his mannerisms. You may see some of his attitude come out in me from time to time. You can be assured that nothing about the message of this house is changing, that we will always be a house where the preacher is a straight shooter and pulls no punches. We will not apologize for the truth. We will not soften our message just to grow our church. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So he's got it. God did not just call mom and dad, but he called their whole family. And I want you to understand that when my dad passed away on Tuesday night, God's plan did not change. It's the same plan that's always been there. It's only moved to a new phase. You know, I was reading Deuteronomy 34 and then, you know, over into Joshua, the first chapter, and that's what I'm going to speak from this morning. Israel's relationship with God did not cease when Moses passed. It did not. In fact, it moved into a new phase at that point. Mom reminded me yesterday of what it says in John 4:37 that one man sows and another reaps. And I believe our time of harvest has come. So some of you may be wondering this morning, how do we get there? How do we take possession of what God has called us to possess? How do we reap the end time harvest? Because I know the devil would like to come in and say that if we couldn't get it done when Pastor Holman was here, well, then how in the world are we going to get it done now? You think he hadn't already tried that on me? Let this be the last time that thought ever crosses your mind. Because it will stop you short of what God has for you. The same power to deliver. The same power to heal. The same truth. The same Jesus that my dad preached is still here. It wasn't kept in a box or in a jar that only he had access to. The wisdom that my dad taught came from the same word that I'm preaching from this morning. The same word that you hold in your hand, and I hope you're holding close to your heart. That wisdom has not changed this morning. It is still as true today as it was a week ago. I'm sure Joshua felt a tremendous weight as well. We read in Joshua, the first chapter, starting at verse 1, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. How do we get across the Jordan this morning? How do we get into the promise that God has set aside for us, both as a body, but not only as a body, but for you personally in your own life? How do you get from here to there? And I will tell you, the first thing that you must do is you must be willing to accept the challenge. I'm sure it would have been easy for the Israelites just to say, you know what, we're over here on the east side of the Jordan, and it's kind of nice over here. Nobody's bothering us right now, so why don't we just stay right here, even though this isn't the fullness of what God has promised for us. It would have been very easy, you know, just to stay over there. It would have been very easy for Joshua just to say, well, maybe let's let somebody else do this. Because this is an awesome responsibility. You know, Joshua knew what he was getting with the people of Israel. He knew he was inheriting a nation of murmurers and complainers. He knew that, you know, he knew their sins. He knew the kind of people that they could be at times. He knew their highs and he knew their lows. I'm here to tell you this morning that while Pastor may have took many secrets to the grave, I am well aware of the challenge in front of me this morning. But as I was telling Sister Karen, I believe it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, that the days all kind of run together, I'm glad Pastor already did the hard work. And now I just have to maintain, right? No, I'm not here just to maintain. Joshua 3:15 we see, and we don't need to go there, but we see that the Jordan River was at its highest point at the time that God said, it's time to go. And you look at that and say, well, you know, wouldn't it have been easier just to wait a little while? You know, wait till it's not harvest time when the river's much easier to cross. Because, you know, why should we make this thing more difficult than it needs to be? You know, I've always been someone, like, if I got to carry something, I'd rather have somebody help me do it. Why have one person do what two people can do just as easily? But God did not, that's not the way God wanted it. God said, you got to go now. I'd have liked to have had 5 more years to prepare for this. We don't get to choose the timing of our battles sometimes in this life. But we honor God by being willing to trust Him in the hard times. Sometimes we have to move in the hard times just so that we'll know that we're reliant upon Him. It was something that Josh told me the other night at the funeral. He said, sometimes it's best to feel unprepared because then you know it's God that brought you through it. And that's what I'm thankful for this morning, is that I know that all this week I have been absolutely amazed at the grace of God to help me and my family through this situation this week. If you would have asked me, how are you going to feel when your dad passes, I if you'd asked me that a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I would have told you, I can't live without my dad. I have to have my dad. I can't imagine him not being here. But God's grace this week has been something that has been, I'll just say this week has been a new experience for me. In that I can't understand why I'm not a blubbering mess right now, although we certainly have had our tears this week. We certainly have cried to the point where we just couldn't cry anymore. And at times I almost felt like, the feeling was that I can't even cry enough to do my feelings justice, And even to the point of at times when something funny might happen and I would smile, I would almost feel a little bit guilty. Like, how can I be happy in this time of such great loss? But God's grace is sufficient, and he has helped me so much this week just in being able to deal with and cope, and it's not that, well, Chris, it just hadn't set in yet. No, it set in. Trust me, it set in. But I am walking in something that I know is supernatural, that I know that I can't explain with human words. I can't explain how or why it happens. And I'm here to tell you this morning that when those hard seasons of your life come, that God will be there with His great grace to help you through those hard seasons if you lean on Him. I know there's a lot of people in the world this morning that people are losing loved ones every day. And many of them, they drop into deep, deep depression. They have no clue of how to cope, and their life just begins to fall apart, and just everything just it's a shambles. But that's not our family this morning. It's just not. I it's not that we don't love Dad. It is definitely not that, because I don't, you all know he was pretty lovable, but He was even more so when he was your family. You can't even begin to understand. But God's grace is sufficient. So sometimes we've got to move in the hard times just so that we'll know we're reliant upon Him. See, when we become dependent upon God, that helps us to be able to follow Him into the unknown. When we become wholly reliant upon Him, then we can trust. When we're stepping into darkness, when we're stepping into something where we've never been before, we can trust and know that, I can't see what's in front of my face. I can't see what's around me, but I do know this, that God's got it. I've always been able to depend upon Him, and so I'm going to keep doing it, and therefore I'll have the courage and confidence to step into whatever it is He's called me to do. The steps of a righteous man, I would remind you, are ordered of the Lord. See, some people would rather live with their problems rather than face their challenges. Sometimes it's easier just to cohabitate with that problem and say, well, I'll kind of keep it at that distance a little bit, or keep it at bay, or you know, I've learned how to live with this problem to the point where, well, it's kind of a nuisance, but it's not debilitating. I suppose it would be easier for me to get up here and take upon this responsibility with the attitude that, you know, well, it would just be easier to say, let's just maintain. That'd be much easier than to stand up here and say, you know what, we're moving forward and we're going on to the next level and we're going on to something greater. But I do know this, that complacency leads to withering. If we become complacent in our relationship with Jesus, then our relationship will begin to wither and it will die right there on the vine. I'm not called to be complacent. I am not called to be someone who is just an also-ran. That's not the way I'm made. And I thank God that He made me that way. I'm here to win. I'm here to step on the devil's neck. And so that's what this house is going to do. And if you don't like that, then you better get it fixed, because that's what we're going to do. See, it's like having a wolf roaming outside and you're kind of fenced in. And there may be safety behind that fence for you while the wolf is out there. But I will tell you this, behind that fence of safety, there is no freedom, because you're going nowhere. And so I do not fear what is outside that fence that we go out from. I don't fear what's out there, because I know the Lord goes with us and He goes before us. As I was thinking last night, I remember a quote that I've often used, that, you know, it's not from the Bible. It's actually the wisdom of man. And sometimes, every now and then, man says something that I look at and say, okay, I actually kind of like that. And so I wrote it down this morning, and I'll read it to you. It came from one of our presidents, Teddy Roosevelt. And he said this, "It is not the critic who counts. It is not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is not effort without error and shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deed. Who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." And I read that, and I was reminded of that I will not be someone that, when the Lord looks at me, that He looked at me as someone who sat on the sidelines and was timid and was afraid to go forward into battle. Sitting on the sidelines for us is not an option. It is not. Soldiers do not sit on the sidelines. We are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses this morning. And when we get to heaven, if you get there before me, then you may cheer us on. But while you are here on this earth, it's time to fight. It is time to go and take our city and do the things that God has called us to do. Verse 3 of Joshua, the first chapter. "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." The second thing that we have to do if we're going to understand how to get to where we're going is recognize God's commitment to us. As I said earlier, his plan didn't change Tuesday night. His commitment to us did not change Tuesday night. He is as committed to us as He has ever been. He will not fail us. Why is it that no one can stand against you? It is because of His power. It is not because of my power. It is not because of your power. As He told Joshua, "For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." As long as we recognize that God is committed to us, and we recognize that it is His power that gives us the power to overcome, then we will possess that thing that He has called us to possess. He will not fail us. He will not abandon us. And He will be with us personally. See, He told Joshua, "For I will be with you." That, to me, that's personal. He didn't say, "I'm going to be with the whole nation here." I'm going to be with you. And as you go through the storms and the battles of life, know that God is with you. He's not just here with the whole body, although He is. Whatever situation you're going through this morning, whatever you're praying and believing God for, whatever fight that you're fighting this morning, God is with you. His personal, powerful presence is with you this morning. And you will overcome. His commitment has not changed. Verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." The third thing, and the last thing this morning that I'm going to talk about, if we're going to get from here to there, is that we must honor God's commands. We must honor them completely. We do not get to pick and choose which ones are comfortable for us or which ones we feel like fit in with what society, you know, determines as wisdom. The Word of God and the commands of God are not a buffet. God, I know, you know, that I love the Golden Corral. And I believe that it is of God. But when it comes to the Word, it's not the Golden Corral. His Word is true, every word of it, no matter how uncomfortable it may make us. No matter how much society may dislike it, we stand on it and we make no apologies for it. We will go into a darkened world and give them truth, because if we're not giving them truth, then ain't nobody getting set free. Some of the messages I think that go forth from the church these days, while they may be encouraging to people, I do kind of wonder, is anybody actually having their life changed? You know, we all know that our encounter with Jesus in our life is life-changing. We are not what we once were. We are new creations. And it is our job to spread the gospel so that those that are lost can also become a new creation. Not just a creation that maybe has an extreme makeover and looks different, but I want to see the hearts and minds of people changed in our community. We must follow His commands completely, and we must follow them consistently. This Christian walk that we are in is not just Sundays. And for those of us who are really holy, it's not just Sundays and Wednesdays. But it is every day that we must walk this out and be the example to a dark world. I believe wholeheartedly that as this ministry goes forward, that many of you are going to be raised up and called to do things that you've never done before. You're going to end up doing some things that right now that you are absolutely terrified and uncomfortable with doing. But as I stand here before you, filling a pulpit, that I feel today that, you know what, I wish I was more prepared. Know that as God is with me, He will also be with you. He will put the words in your mouth that you need to speak, if you'll do what I'm telling you this morning. He'll give you the words to say. And I would tell you that you should not feel so much pressure to have to explain the nuts and bolts of Christianity to everybody you meet. I would tell you the most important thing for you to do is just to be the nuts and bolts of Christianity to everybody that you meet. If you can do that, you will be far more successful in winning people to the kingdom than you will by trying to convince them with intellectual arguments and trying to, you know, be a keyboard warrior and arguing back and forth on Facebook for all that's worth. Live your life as an example of what God is, of what God has called us to be. That will be your greatest testimony, and we will see the lost come to salvation. We will see the lost filling these pews. And once they get in here, then they will know that the Lord is God. They will see the delivering power of the hand of Jesus. We will see people delivered from drugs. We will see them delivered from alcoholism. We will see them delivered from promiscuity and sexual perversion. We will see them delivered in this house. But we got to get them here first. Amen? And that's what God has called every one of us to do. You know, as I was thinking about, you know, when the devil was trying to tell me, well, how are you going to do this when your dad's gone and he was far greater than you? And I would say that, number one, shut up, devil. We're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. And like I said, I won't have all the answers for exactly how we're going to do it. But I know who does. And in good season, in due season, the Lord will provide at the right time. In the same way that He provides rain for the crops just when they're needed. At the same time that He provides finances for you just when they are needed. He will also provide us with the ideas, with the things that He wants us to do in order to advance the kingdom of God. And so, have no doubt this morning that we're going to get it done here. I am more confident than I have ever been that God has called us to reach this city, that God has called us to be the thing that this city needs in order to turn it around, to change it. We are not called to be just another church. I don't believe that the legacy of my father was just to have just another church. But this is a house for the hurting. This is a house where people get healed, both of physical illness, but also of the mental struggles that they go through. This is a house where people can be delivered from those things that I mentioned earlier, from drugs and alcohol. This is where it happens. This is not where a house where you just come just to feel good about yourself. People will feel good because we love on them. Because we be the example that Jesus had called us to be. They will see that we love one another, that there is no strife in our house. But we're all in this together. I don't know why High School Musical is going through my head now. We're all in this together. I cannot be my dad, so don't expect it. I will be myself, though, which just means my references probably will come from the 90s, where his came from the 60s and 70s. So it's all good. So this morning, we got to accept the challenge that's before us. It's not time to sit down and talk about the sweet by and by and be content with what we have already accomplished. You know, I was reading what I had written down about Dad, and Mom had helped me with all of the things that Dad had done. You know, as I was reading through that list of just the impact that my dad had in ministry, I was overwhelmed. You know, even though, you know, there was nothing on that list that I didn't know, when you start to put it all together, it was wow. And immediately I thought, Lord, you're taking him and leaving me. But it's not about a comparison. I can never compare to my dad. It is about a new day this morning. And we will go on and we will do even greater things. We will not be left just to pick up pieces this morning, or we will not be left just to try to putter along and try to do as much as we can until Jesus comes or until we go by way of the grave. I do believe, as impossible as it may look on paper, that God has called us to do greater things. And I do believe with all my heart that God, through me, will do even greater things than he was able to through my dad. Not so that I can receive any praise. Understand this, I am very much like my dad in this regard. I want nothing in terms of, you know, words of, you know, acclamation or whatever. My family will give me all the words of affirmation I need. I lean on my wife for that, to tell me I'm beautiful. And that's all I need to hear. You know, when she tells me I'm awesome, you know, that's all I need. What I do up here, I do unto the glory of God. And I believe that we will do even greater things. So this morning, we got to accept the challenge. We got to recognize that God is still with us and he is still committed. And we got to honor his commands. Because I will tell you this morning, it is time to gear up for war. It is time to take our city and do the thing that God has ordained for us to do. There is no more sitting on the sidelines. Not that any of you have. But I would tell you this morning that you need to begin to dig deeper and search and seek God more than you ever have before. Because if we're going to do something that we've never done before, we're going to have to do some things that we haven't done before. We're going to have to seek God more strongly and in a more committed way, in a more complete way than we ever have done before. We might have to pray just a little bit longer than we've had to in the past. We might have to read and study just a little bit more. We might have to lean on the Lord just a little bit more than we have in the past and step out in faith and know that he's got it. See, I'm so glad we don't have to do this in our own strength. That we don't have to rely upon our talents and our abilities. Because if we were relying upon that, I'll tell you this, if we rely upon our talents and our abilities, then this is all there is. We're done. There's no more. Without God doing it, we ain't going on. But he's going to do it. Amen? And I believe it's time for us to take our city and begin to get the end time harvest. Because I do believe Jesus is coming soon. And I look forward to that. And I told Becky last night, I was sitting on the couch and just thinking about Dad. You know, we sang that song this morning, "Even So, Come Lord Jesus, Come." And that song has always been a tough song for me to sing because until last week, I always kind of had this thought that, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to Jesus returning, but life is pretty good right now, you know, and I'm kind of, if he comes tomorrow, great. If he doesn't, well, I'm good. That kind of changed this week for me. And now I look forward to it more so than I ever have. But until he does come, we've got work to do. Amen. We don't quit. There is no quit. As long as there is a Holman at the helm, there will be no quit in this house. So we're going to take our city. And I know there's been some things, you know, over the last year or so that there are some things that we haven't been able to do as much with as much fervency or as much zeal as we've wanted to do. The first thing that came to mind, you know, as I was thinking was, you know, was Vacation Bible School. And I do know this, if I've got anything to do about it, and I'm sure that I will, VBS will come back next year with a vengeance. And we will do it better than we've ever done it. And when we do a VBS, we do it right. Because the commitment and the vision of this house has not changed. We have always loved our kids. We have always believed that they are the church of today and not the church of tomorrow. And so, you know, as I was thinking last night, I was like, there's so many things that we've wanted to do, but it felt like we were just, you know, we've had a limp, you know, the last little bit. But bless God, we're moving on.
Amen.
And it's just going to happen.
Amen.
I'm excited.
Amen.
I can't explain it. Amen. I can't define why. I just know it's going to happen. Because it's all good. God's got it.
Amen.
So I would tell you this morning that if you're not right with Jesus this morning, then this would be the best time to fix that. This would be the day to fix it, because we're going into an end times battle, and you're going to need the strength of God to sustain you. You're going to need to lean on Him, and if you don't know Him, you can't lean on what you don't know. You can't trust in what you haven't trusted in before. And so God is calling us to a new level. And so I will tell you this morning, if you're in this room this morning, and maybe things have been just a little bit on the fence a little bit between you and God, this morning is the time to seal that commitment and say, yes, I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand firm. I will hold the line and I will advance the line. See, I was thinking about that last night too. I was like, it's one thing to hold the line and make sure the enemy does not advance, but God is calling us not to just to stand firm and hold on to what we've got. God is calling us this morning to begin to advance the line and to move forward and begin to take back our city, to take back our schools, to minister to the lost, to minister to the hurting. God, that's what God has called us to do. God has put the Spirit in us. He has put the truth on the inside of us. How can we stand here and be silent and hold back when God has given us such a great gift? I cannot do it. I will not do it. I will move forward. I will advance the line this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. If you're in this room this morning and you need to make a recommitment, if you need to get some things straightened out, well, then we're going to do that as a body right now. We're just going to go before the Lord. We're just going to begin to, let's just go before Him right now and say this after me. Father, I know that I have been rotten at times. And I ask you for forgiveness. I make Jesus my Savior and my Lord. I will do what you say, Jesus. I will accomplish what you've called me to do. And I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed, because I know you're with me, O God. Guide my steps, Lord, so that I may accomplish the thing that you've called me to. Thank you for forgiveness this morning. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want us as a body, let's make some declarations this morning. I want us all to turn to the city of Richmond. It's that direction as far as I know. I know it's kind of all around us. But let's just begin to declare that Jesus is the Lord over our city. Jesus, we lift you up this morning. We declare that you are Lord over our city. We declare this morning that we shall accomplish what you have called us to be. We shall be the body that you have called us to be. We shall minister to the lost. We shall minister to the hurting. We shall lay hands on the sick and we shall see them recover. We shall witness to the drug addict. We shall witness to the prostitute. We shall see them delivered and set free. We declare that every chain that binds the people of our city, we declare every chain now is broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for victory. We thank you, God, that every bit of finances that we need to accomplish what you've called us to do, it comes forth. That the city does not hold back, but that there are those in the city that even now that are ordained, they are destined to be here to support the work of the ministry here. And we declare that they are held not back in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I give you praise, Jesus, that we will fight, that we will stand. We will not see our city lost. We will not allow our schools to be places where our children's minds are polluted by worldly philosophies, but we will speak truth into darkness. We shall speak truth over our city, and it shall go forth and it shall conquer. It shall conquer the minds of our young people. We speak against the false prophets in our colleges, at the university. We speak against their lying words and we declare the truth of the Word of God in the minds of the college students that come here every fall. We declare that there will be a strong outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our community and in our city as we go forth. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We pray for the leaders of our city. We declare that they are godly men, that you put godly men in places of authority. We pray for them as they make decisions for our city, that they make the right decisions. We thank you, God, that you give them wise counsel. And I thank you, God, that as a body, we have favor with our elected officials. I thank you that everything that we set forth to do, every ministry that we reach out to do, that we see every obstacle that's in front of us, that it falls by the wayside, that we will not be hindered or harmed or slowed down, but we will march forward and we will do what God has called us to do. You will accomplish it, Father. You will accomplish it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, God, we thank you for the great harvest of souls. We are not looking to build a church upon with Christians from other churches. That is not our desire this morning. Our desire is to build your church with the lost, with the hurting, with the broken. And we declare it this morning that there is a great harvest. As we go forth, we shall see a mighty harvest of souls, greater than we have ever seen in this church, greater than anybody has ever seen in this city. We declare it now in the name of Jesus that those that are lost, they are coming forth. Those that are backslidden, they're coming back now in the name of Jesus. Every lost loved one that is sitting at the house this morning, instead of in the house of God, you begin to compel them. You begin to compel them to come in. And you send us, Father, to compel them. Thank you, Jesus. And God, I pray for a new boldness upon our people here. A new boldness that comes from the Holy Ghost. From the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Make us bold. Make us bold as a lion, Father. As we go forth, we speak the Word. We live out the Word. We do not fear what man can do to us. We only fear being away from you, Father. We want your presence in our lives. We want your presence overflowing in us this morning, Jesus. The presence of God overflows us this morning. Leads us, it guides us, it directs us, and we see the fruit of our labor. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. And God, you help us to minister to the hungry. May we not forget those that are in need this morning. That God, you give us supernatural resources to be your hands and feet this morning. That you cause money to come into us, not so that we can amass wealth, so that we can build great buildings or that, so that we can have personal wealth, but so that we may in turn bless the people that you have called us to, so that we can bless the broken. We can bless the brokenhearted. We can bless those who have not, who don't have the ability to acquire the things that you have given us, Father. We reach forth and we say, we will bless them. Whether they bless us or curse us, we shall reach forth our hand and we shall bless those people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. God's got it. Amen. I will tell you to stand back and see what God will do this morning. Amen. Give Him a shout this morning. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. You have called us for such a time as now. We are not here by accident, but we are here by divine appointment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's called you. He's called me. And whom He calls, He equips. Fear not by looking at your abilities. Fear not by looking at your past and what you've not been able to do. If you will lean upon the Lord, He will direct your paths and He will accomplish the thing through you that He's called you to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's been a good day. It's a new day and it's a good day.